Suddenly, at the end of 2011, a wave of protests burst out in Russia. As well as Pussy Riot, one night a young internet blogger called Alexei Navalny got up on a platform and he chanted the phrase that redefined Russia for what up to then had been an apolitical generation. Putin was furious. It was complete hypocrisy. He had given the new Russian middle classes prosperity. Now they were stabbing him in the back. He grew increasingly paranoid, fearful that those groups who had benefited from the corruption would turn against him. And to protect himself, he shapeshifted again. Putin did the very thing that Edward Limonov had called for. He created a new organization called the Popular Front to promote Russian nationalism.
That's true.
And you're the dumbest guy in your country.
I'll come and live in your country.
That's
then
a
I
good
won't
idea.
Have to be the dumbest guy anymore.
I'll go over to your country, too. It'll be great. Those Moscow girls really knock me out.
Golly.
They leave the West behind.
But Putin went much further than Limonov, because he summoned up a dark, frightening vision from Russia's past. It said that Russia as a whole, what was called Eurasia, was the last defense against a corrupt West that was trying to take over the whole world. It was a great power nationalism that challenged America's idea of its exceptionalism. What Putin was promoting was Russian exceptionalism.
There's a story I've always wanted to tell you, Rona, about the time that I was in Yalta with Uncle Joe. Well, all Joe wanted to talk about was the bomb. But what I wanted was his recipe for borscht. Now, here it is. First, you take a few beets from the peasants. Then you throw in a handful of reds. And you stir them around real good. Now that's a wonderful supper.
It was epitomized by the Night Wolves, an extreme nationalist motorcycle club, who announced that they were now Putin's bodyguards. The Night Wolves put on mass shows that dramatized the paranoid conspiracy theory that America, led by Barack Obama and the bankers, and the Illuminati, were planning to undermine Vladimir Putin and destroy Russia. In the West, after the crash, the bankers had also now become the villains. They were at the center of conspiracy theories that said that they were running a global system of corruption. A wave of leaked documents seemed to show that the City of London had become the center of an international network that was being used to hide the illegal fortunes of kleptocrats from all around the world. Hundreds of billions, it was alleged, was being taken through London and then hidden in a network of secretive offshore territories that anti-corruption investigators called the Second Empire. But the problem was, no one could actually find out how much of this was really true. Because of something else the City of London had always prided itself on from the time of the Empire, its discretion.
How's the market?
Firm. It's not much doing.
Nothing else?
If it's you, I'll give you something to take me.
Sorry, old man. Wrong way, I'm afraid.
at all? Has he done it?
No, he's evidently not satisfied. He'll try somewhere else.
Now, the discretion that the city was still so proud of had in reality turned into a force shield that stopped any proper investigation of what was really going on. Eminent law firms immediately issued libel writs to anyone trying to find out what was happening. But by suppressing any real information, the suspicions grew that there was a dark, frightening world of dictators, drug lords, Russian gangsters, arms dealers, and international bankers, all thriving together in the shadows of the City of London. Which reinforced the idea that the world was bewilderingly complicated and way beyond our control.
You are not in control.
In China, Gu Kailai was put on trial for poisoning Neil Hayward. She had confessed, the court said, and she was given a suspended death sentence.
The whole world is spinning!
Why, that's lucky for us, Nancy. If it were flat, all the Chinese would fall off.
Then her husband, Bo Zhilai, was put on trial in the city of Jinan. He denied all the charges of corruption. But outside the court, something unexpected began to happen.
All right, let's see. Intercept from the bedroom. Try to translate here. He said, look at this bed, big and soft. In 1947, on the long march to Yunnan, I slept in the dirt, but hey, baby, look at me, Mao. Look, there's more, Yeah, there's
he seems very excited. What's he saying?
Oh, now, here the president's measuring the TV. He says it's 48 inches. That's the longest one he's ever seen. He's very happy. He says now, Vanna White will be almost as big as life.
Oh, that'll be good for the
Okay, that's the end of the bedroom table. Let's move on to the bathroom.
All right, now, what's...
As you can see, Jinan's never seen anything like it. There are huge crowds here watching the media, watching the trial, and everybody who has any sort of grievance, any sort of complaint against the local government or the national government is here to try and get it aired.
Doesn't trust the trial environment
to make their case. They've been thrusting pieces of paper into my hand.
What's he doing now?
Well, he's tested all seven positions on the luxury shower head. He likes them all. He doesn't like the stingy one here. He's calling that the American water torture. He's got some sense of humor, that guy. Okay, all right. Move on to the next tape. Move on. Come on. This is from the galley. President Zhang is here talking to his chef.
Yeah, well, what's he saying?
He's talking about cooking food for President George W. when he comes to China. Chef wants to know what to cook. Jack says, it doesn't matter. If George is like his father, he's gonna throw it all up on the Prime Minister, and half an hour later, he'll be hungry again.
What happened outside the court in Jinan gave a glimpse of the widespread anger and frustration in China with the ruling system and its corruption. Forces simmering under the surface of the society. The party leaders were split on how to deal both with what Bo Zhilai had done and the forces of anger that had now unleashed. When Zhibao, who was the premier, said that the problem was that the party had never confronted what had happened during Mao's time. Unless you have political reform and open up the society for democratic debate, Wen said, those ghosts will always threaten. But others disagreed. Above all, the man who had just been appointed the next party secretary, Xi Jinping. His family, like Bo's, had been at the very centre of the frightening forces that Mao Zedong had unleashed. One journalist wrote, "They want to keep that great black box that conceals the struggles and the brutality upon which China has built its staggering economic transformation firmly closed." And to keep it closed, Xi Jinping decided to turn China into a giant system in which everyone's behaviour could be predicted, managed, and controlled.
Why, she's no fun. She fell right over. Wait a minute. Didn't I say that line on the other side of the record? Where am I? I'd better check.
Who is now?
It's okay, they're speaking Chinese.
The aim was to learn from the data how all the individuals linked together in the society, so their behaviour could be predicted, like components in a system.
But
there was a further aim, to adjust the behaviour of people so they would fit better into the system. It was called algorithmic governance. And if the data from all the different sources showed a person behaving well, buying the right food for their children, not cheating at computer games, and not jaywalking, then they would be given what were called social credits. This would then give them rewards, from discounts on bills to getting better visibility on dating sites, even avoiding the queue to pay to see a doctor. Fifty years before, an American psychologist called B.F. Skinner had become notorious when he had outlined just such a society. Skinner had shown how he could easily alter the behaviour of animals, like pigeons, by using a simple system of rewards. He called it operant conditioning.
In this experiment, he must peck at the cross 10 times before the food is forthcoming. After 4 or 5 sessions, the pigeon learns the routine perfectly and pecks at the cross wherever he sees it, without being in the least upset at being made to work for his living.
Now that produces in a rat or a pigeon or a monkey or, and in a man, a very high rate of activity. And if you build up, you can get enormous amounts of behavior out of these organisms for very little pay. You don't need to give them very much to induce a lot of that. Now, a world in which a great many productive things occur on this schedule will be a wonderful world.
Skinner wrote a novel called Walden 2 that described a future utopia where all human behavior would be controlled through this kind of operant conditioning. It was a utopia, he said, because it would free society from all the dangerous and irrational impulses inside individuals' minds. All of that could be sealed off by managing people's behavior with rewards and treats.
I felt very low and very sad, you know?
That's because you were sleeping in that box.
That Skinner box.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good idea.
That's what, Woody's, that's what we used to call those.
The Skinner boxes?
Yeah. Sure, man, those are great cars.
my mother, you can't blame her that she put me in a Skinner box. She was
a very skinny woman.
She certainly was. She couldn't eat. She had to spend all of her money on the Skinner boxes. She put me in one. She put my sister in one. She put my father in one, so he couldn't work anymore. And, of course, there wasn't any money in the house.
It's you were the box boy.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's I worked right. down at the market.
You must have known Harry Cox.
Well, I boxed him, actually. Yeah. I was a professional
boxer. Did
you win? Did I win? Win, lose, the same thing. I was in a Zen monastery at the time, so I had no concept of what I was doing.
Yeah, I know, man. You can't get a good fight in a Zen monastery.
You can, but you can't win, you
know. I know. You can't lose either, so there's a certain compensation.
The pain is real.
I know, but you have to cook, you know, and you have to sweep the floors.
You know, man, it's hard to cook
in a
Zen monastery.
This is no life for a grown man.
No, I know. It kept me from growing, you know, living in a Zen monastery in a Skinner
box. And in that box, too, you're still extremely small.
I wasn't small, but the box was. It was painful.
Oh,
really.
I see.
Now, China had found a way of creating just such a system of managing people through the mass of data it was gathering. It was being used to create a whole society where what went on inside people's heads was completely irrelevant. Their rational thought and their feelings were all bypassed. It was only their observed behavior that counted. And this allowed those in charge to bury and hide the anger and frustration that had been created in a society that was riddled with corruption and growing inequalities. And if people didn't respond to the treats, they could be forcibly reprogrammed, as it is alleged is happening in large re-education facilities in Xinjiang, to hundreds of thousands of the Muslim Uyghur population.
Hey, Larry, dig that chick.
Huh, she's groovy.
Hey, man, are you ready for that spade? Wow.
He's groovy. All spades are groovy.
Dig that chick. She's groovy.
Yeah, she's groovy.
Right.
Hey, dig that.
She's not groovy. Peace, baby.
You talking to me, man?
Sure, baby. Come on over here. I want to do a thing with you.
You want a roofer?
No, man.
Reaper?
Forget it.
Ringer?
Where's your miniskirt?
I forgot it! Oh, I knew I should have.
Cool, little lady. Don't get uptight.
Come over here in the light so we can check your body paint. Faded San Francisco Art Nouveau.
Sure, she must be an oldie.
Are you holding?
Natch! Jackson, of course I'm holding. I got it right. Oh, you took my stash from me. This is a frame-up.
Dig, Larry. Aspirin.
Let's do her a favor. Phone her in.
I tell you, I took all the uppers. You want to hear me rap? I saw the best minds of my generation.
Put her in the car.
Put her in the back seat.
Out of sight. Call her into Dr. Benway.
Oldie but Goldie City, Benway here.
Hey, Doc. Got one for re-grooving. Be right in.
Groovy.
How's the Blucadelic Psycho Raga Rock Old Folks Dance Marathon doing?
They're dropping like flies.
Groovy.
In the West, the corruption and the inequalities also continued to grow. The politicians seemed unable to do anything about it. But the technology systems were mutating, morphing into ever more extreme forms. And out of that was going to come a completely new kind of management and control in the modern world. Unlike in China, it wouldn't try and bury people's emotions and feelings. It would work by doing the very opposite, pushing and exaggerating those emotions to a pitch of continual hysteria and suspicion that would create a frozen world, paralyzed by the distrust of everyone and everything. By now, the social media corporations had realized that intense emotions were the key to increased profits. And what were called viral content factories were growing rapidly online. Their aim was to spread memes and other material that would create what they called high arousal emotions, or activating emotions, such as lust and nostalgia and envy, or best of all, outrage. Because these were feelings that got people to pay attention longer and react more intensely, which then translated into many more clicks and shares. Then in 2014, a group of psychologists working with Facebook announced that they had found a way to put hidden messages into people's news feeds that would then create specific moods and feelings without the individuals being aware of it. It was the moment when the psychologists' theories of priming, or nudging, fused with the power of the new technology. And it seemed to show that manipulation could work on an industrial scale. But when it was revealed, it also had another unintended effect. It began to sow a dark suspicion into people's minds, because they no longer knew whether what they were feeling or thinking was their own, or really coming from outside sources. But for the machines, that was no problem, because suspicion was also another perfect high arousal emotion that they could feed off. And suspicion was about to spread uncontrollably across the internet. Because into this mix came two terrible shocks. The first was Brexit, the other was the election of Donald Trump.
His pointy hat he's combed straight back to point up his steely brow. His taste in gold is bold as brass, so gnome of the moment. He's a moment again, right? He's back again?
It's a metaphor, isn't it?
There you go.
The brass and the gold. I got it.
Take your bow.
I'll take it. There you go.
When more cement gets dumped inside the Donald mold, Donald claims the gnomes are pumped to buy, sell, and be sold.
Yeah.
They're fired on with Vegas schemes. I like this rhyme stuff.
This is good. You're good writers.
This is good writing
good writers.
Here.
Buddhists.
They're
Buddhist
fired.
Writers.
No, no Buddhists.
Jewish
you know.
Writers? Or is this just Goyish enough?
No, it's Goyish enough.
Okay,
they're fired on with Vegas schemes, Viagra dreams that make their rowboats grow long and sleek to muscle yachts with lots of busty blondes below.
We should be paid for doing this.
Come on, don't
no.
you think?
Yes.
I'll pay you for that.
Is it good? Okay.
Yeah.
I busty blondes.
Busty
That's
blondes
for
below.
Yeah, for of course.
Alliteration gets them every time.
All right. Yes. First you skim the stupid out. Gnomes will vote for a familiar face forever. Then gather round the birther gnomes. They'll leave a TV star.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm. Even without a birth certificate.
Right. They'll now pluck the greedy gamblers up. Some Mormon gnomes mayhap. Then, oops.
This is sounding like Chaucer. All
Your
of a
ratings
I
done.
Had
they're,
to read that.
They're falling. The ratings are falling. Crap. But he's back, which is the only reason I'm reading this.
Well, his hair is back.
Yeah, well, sure. His hair is
back. He is back. He's having
but
read
he's
it
doing
on.
His thing.
No, let's
okay.
not break
Let
the
Let me finish.
We'll
it is like a few more verses. You know, what can I tell you?
A few more verses.
The shock of both these was enormous, especially for the liberal classes, who had always seen themselves as protecting the working class. They protested, but the shock was so intense that many people found it difficult to process what had happened. They couldn't imagine why the people had not only turned against them and their benign care, but also seemed to have voted against their own best interests. And to explain it, they latched on to the idea of hidden manipulation, that thousands of voters in America and in Britain had been manipulated online without them realizing it. But then things became more complicated, because evidence had started to come out from the world of science that questioned the whole idea that people could be manipulated in such a way. Psychology researchers had tried to repeat a number of the most important experiments that were the foundations of modern behavioral psychology. They were astonished to find that again and again, when they repeated the experiments, they failed to get the original results. It seemed that much of the evidence for priming just wasn't there. It got so bad that one of the most famous psychologists in the world, who had promoted the idea of priming, Daniel Kahneman, wrote an open email to the Science of Psychology. "I see a train wreck looming," he said. "We have become the poster child for doubts about the integrity of psychological research." Kahneman was frightened because it was undermining the idea that he had helped create, that in the human brain were systems that the conscious self was unaware of, but which you, the psychologist, could trigger unconsciously. But it also had wider implications, because it meant that companies like Cambridge Analytica, who claimed that they could alter the way people behaved by priming, might just be exploiting the hysteria and the suspicion. The truth was that you might be able to keep millions of people in a state of constant anxiety online by bombarding them with memes, but you couldn't alter underneath what they thought and what they believed. People might be far stronger than the scientists believed. But it was too late, because once you believe you are being manipulated, there is no way back. Even being told you are not being manipulated might be manipulation. The liberal opposition became lost in an endless conspiracy theory, constantly searching for hidden clues, links, and fragments of evidence to prove that really Vladimir Putin and firms like Cambridge Analytica had orchestrated Brexit and the election of Donald Trump. It was a mood of hysteria that ran out of control.
Whether the President of the United States was a Russian agent, let me say that again, whether the US President might have been working for the Russians.
The wall's closing in.
As it appears, the walls are closing in terms of the Mueller investigation.
The walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in.
I do feel that he feels the walls closing in on him.
You know, looking up Acme, I...
Don't look up Acme.
Oh, no. I've looked up Acme and I get nothing on Google. Look at that charming ceiling. It seems to be so close. I don't believe I've ever noticed that fresco
it's
before.
It's an original fettuccine, so flat, so thin.
I should have recognized the fabulous fettuccine perspective.
Which was that?
Oh, you feel as if your nose is right inside the central figure of the tableau.
Ah, his painstaking concern for minute detail is truly oppressive. Every hair.
Who is she?
Oh, my God, Dudley, the ceiling is moving down on us.
I don't think so. It's the floor. It's moving up.
Oh, it's just a matter of perspective. We're doomed!
Legal walls are closing in on Donald Trump tonight.
From a Democratic perspective, this is the president who feels like the walls are closing in. As he feels the walls are closing in...
I think he's feeling the Russian investigation. I think he's feeling the walls closing in on him.
But what had really been manufactured by the hysteria and the suspicion was a constant source of those high arousal emotions that the machines needed. They didn't care about the meaning of what people thought or felt about Donald Trump. They just fed off the waves of paranoia, making the technology companies ever more profitable and powerful. But many of those old institutions who had been sidelined also found that by promoting the suspicions, they could regain their power.
Trump is about to call me.
Can't trust what they tell us.
Major newspapers in America and in Britain that might have gone bankrupt without Donald Trump were rescued by the continual waves of conspiracy theories they revealed.
X3, five star, fun, pray your final, feel all about it.
Hey, you don't have to yell, we're standing right here.
How do I know? I'm blind, I can't see you.
Oh,
may
yeah.
I proceed?
Yeah.
Legendary bad guy Rocky Rococo faces police Tsar Bradshaw in mayoral toss-off. Pledges to track motocross clean, City platform. X3.
I could have gotten all that information at firesigntheater.com. Keyword, blind newsboy.
X3. Phone rings in distance. It's Nick's.
Hey.
You won't find that on the web, smartass.
Oh, yeah. I ought to give you the hot kiss at the end of a wet...
Boy, put him up. Where'd you go?
While the intelligence agencies, who only a few years before had been hated because they had invented the weapons of mass destruction, now became heroic truth-tellers, revealing ever more hidden conspiracies. And Vladimir Putin, whose power in reality was becoming increasingly fragile at home in Russia, became in the eyes of the West a dark, malevolent force, which made him seem far stronger than he really was. And for Donald Trump, the paranoia allowed him to hide the fact that he was doing nothing to get rid of the corruption in America, as he had promised. His supporters, though, had their own conspiracy theory, QAnon, that explained why nothing was happening. Trump was being stopped by a secret cabal of pedophiles in Washington.
Father Groper. You know the story of Father Groper?
No.
The healing of this man?
Oh,
from
yes.
cat molester to Bishop of Boston.
That's right.
And he's with us.
I can drive a cat to the zoo now, and I don't do a thing.
But you can't make it think, can
that's
you?
Right.
All right, anyway.
Bees. I like to fondle bees now.
Yeah. They're real honey.
That's a fly. Do you like to fondle flies?
And the archbishop's going to cover it up for me.
Yes, he is. You know what you cover? You know.
Hey, zip it.
So anyway, I nearly didn't get here because I was detained in my house by the Israeli army. They surrounded my house. And you know why? Because, you know, I was down at the mall yesterday and they have all these hidden cameras that are doing pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. And my nose has a 3% correlation with Yasser Arafat's. So I went into the database and Sharon ordered my house surrounded.
Well,
they,
you know,
they blew the shit out of it. I knew it was just offensive. I can't blame them.
You need to come to me for some young boys that will blow themselves up in Israel.
Are these the young
boys?
I have
a bunch of young boys. Yes, yeah, I've been blowing them up and now we'll send them out to do their duty, lads.
They're just as big as ever, yeah.
And for the liberal opposition, it was a way of avoiding facing up to the genuine grievances and the very real anger in America that Trump's election had revealed. That he might be the product of a country where large areas had fallen into both desolation and despair. Towns where all the factories had closed. Millions had become addicted to opioids. And yet no one in power had come to rescue them. But the liberals couldn't face this, because they too had no idea of how to solve those problems. And outside, in the real world, nothing actually changed. The structure of power, the inequalities, and the decay all carried on unchecked. While all kinds of groups who wanted to cling on to power protected themselves behind this brittle shell of conspiracy theories, built out of disconnected fragments. But it was a very fragile structure. And at this point, Google's engineers demonstrated how easily reality in this fragmented world could become strange and frightening. They created an AI program to learn how to see dogs.
He's dogged. Hey! Oh, hey! I've got a dog. Hey, little fella. I know what. I'm gonna call you Relent. Then I won't be relentless anymore. Get it?
At Rolling and Blackout, they turn left.
Hey, that's my ankle. You trying to tell me something, little guy? Hey, calm down. You sound like a drunken French monkey. Wait. Oh, I get it. I got my hat over my third eye. Let me just lift it up and... How's that?
Ah, about time, you dumb dick.
Let's go.
But they then showed how if they ran the algorithm backwards, the machines would alter the images of reality they were being fed. And then into this fragile structure came a catastrophe. COVID. Unlike the other catastrophes of the past 20 years, like 9/11 and the economic crash of 2008, the virus was a force that came from completely outside the systems of power. But it has come at a moment when many of the old certainties of this age are already cracking.
I'm gonna shoot you in your f***ing head, you understand me?
Oh,
don't you f***ing move, I'm gonna shoot you in your f***ing head, you hear me?
But the virus did more than just accelerate the chaos. It has dramatically brought into focus just how deep the inequalities in modern Western societies have gone. The millions of low-paid workers who have to keep working to prevent the societies from collapsing are at much higher risk, and those living in deprived areas are suffering much higher rates of illness and of death. Those who benefit from a system of power, it seems, are much safer than those who do not, but are also getting much richer as the markets keep rising in the pandemic. In the past, the shock of catastrophes has often led to a radical reorganization of societies. And it may be that even in the grim uncertainty of these days, that same impulse to imagine other kinds of future will emerge. One possible future is that individualism will disappear, and with it, the very idea of individual freedom. As has already begun in China, data will be gathered and used on a massive scale to predict and manage all human behavior in the way that the psychologist B.F. Skinner predicted. He said that individualism would be just a brief moment in history before science would find a way to manage and control everyone. You would, said Skinner, create a world that is beyond freedom and dignity.
Skinner believes that the experimental analysis of behavior suggests that man's environment performs many of the functions once attributed to his inner feelings. A man feels free if he believes he is free, and he will believe he is free if he is conditioned by positive reinforcement to think so. His only hope is that he will come under the control of a natural and social environment which will enable him to pursue happiness successfully.
Another possibility is that the future will be like the past. Many people are hoping that with the election of Joe Biden in America, it will be possible to return to an old stability, where individualism can continue to be managed by a benign elite. But although Donald Trump is gone and the Brexit deal done, what they both revealed was that underneath Western societies, there are enormous pressures building up that will not go away. While protests have broken out again in Russia, after the arrest of Alexei Navalny, tens of thousands came out onto the streets demanding an end to the corrupt regime led by Vladimir Putin. The reality is that all these societies, not just America and Britain, but China and Russia too, are exhausted, empty of any new ideas. All of them have corruption that has burrowed deep into their institutions. Corruption that the politicians seem powerless to stop. While China, which many believe is a model for the future, is underneath a society not only riddled with corruption, but its growth is declining far more than the official figures reveal, while its population is rapidly aging. Far from being an alternative future, China may well be yet another old, decaying society that relies on a powerful surveillance system to maintain its power, because it too has no other vision of the future. The third possibility is to try to imagine genuinely new kinds of futures, ones that have never existed before. But to do that, we as individuals will have to regain the confidence that we have lost in this frightened and uncertain time. But already the psychological theories that tell us we are weak and manipulable are cracking. And more people are beginning to realize that the fragmented emotions of anxiety and suspicion that they feel inside them may really be just the raw material for the technology corporations to feed off. It may be that we are really far stronger than we think. The one thing that is certain is that the world of the future will be different, and that the people in that future will feel and think differently too. If we can regain our confidence, we will find that we have the power to influence how that future turns out. And as a first step, we have to start imagining what kind of future it is we want to build. The anthropologist and activist David Graeber, who died last year, described the forgotten idea that is waiting to be rediscovered, and how thrilling it could be. The ultimate hidden truth of the world, he wrote, is that it is something we make, and could just as easily make differently.
Do you remember the past, Doctor?
Gypsy Doctor.
Do you remember the future?
Yes.
Forget it, Tim.
Don't forget it.
Fireworks are over. Only the smoke remains, clouding my great crystal balls. Is there anything you didn't understand about your future, Mr. Barney, Mr. Barney. Yes.
Barney, well, now I won't say that I understand everything, but it was certainly different and... Oh, yes, well worth a dollar. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Make sure that you remember it.
Oh, yeah, well, how could I forget that, you know?
Doctor, yes.
Yes. Well, so long.
Oh, as you get off the wagon, please, will you tell your friend, that little sailor, to step up?
Oh, certainly. I think I can.
Thank you.
Hey, Clem.
What?
Hey, the little sailor's the last guy.
Oh.
And he's weird with a beard, man. Listen, I'm going to hitch up the horses. We'll be ready to go.
No, leave the horses in the wagon.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
Oh, look out, here he is.
Ah, the balls are clearing again. The right one is the sun, and the left one is the moon. Put what you want between them, and your future begins. Aha. I see you are a sailor.